That's the band of the day. It's brought to you by OrthoPros of Utah and BetterBraces.com. Let's get out to the Band of Brothers hotline and bring in our special guest, former BYU great, former NFL great. BYU is so lucky to be able to call him one of our own. He's a pastor for Transformation Church. He's an author. He's a scholar. And his name is Dewey Gray, Derwin Gray. How you doing, Derwin?
Hey, I'm doing great, man. Hey, what an introduction like that. I need to let you say that to my kids.
You know, I think everyone has issues with that. Every parent has issues. Like, you know, I created a highlight video just so I can show my kids that I once was a decent athlete. But even then, can you actually get them to sit down and watch it is the key. And it sounds like you have that same issue.
Yeah, it's funny. I was trying to tell my kids, I'm like, yo, man, I'm a legend. Don't you understand this?
Just bring him to Provo, Dewey. Just bring him to Provo.
Yeah, bring him to Provo, man. And you, obviously, you're the cock of the walk. You'll be the talk of the town. I saw it at BYU Media Day. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to interview you, but I'm happy to have you on right now. But it's great to just catch up with you, Derwin, and tell us a little bit about what you're doing right now. Jeff Call put out a great article on your current situation as pastor at Transformation Church. Tell us what you're doing, how you're living your life.
Yeah, you know, so been married 23 years now. I met a javelin thrower in 1990 by the name of Vicky from Montana. So God in his awesome ways connected a boy from the hood and a girl from the mountains of Montana who were two non-LDS kids, and we fell fast in love and been married 23 years and got a daughter that is 19 years old, finished her freshman year up at Clemson. Got a son, Jeremiah, who's a rising freshman, and actually August 17th through the 19th, I'm going to be in Provo talking to the football team and doing some leadership development, and my son's going to come up with me, so I'm looking forward to that as well.
What position does he play, Dewey? What position does he play? Does he play other sports?
He does. He plays cornerback and safety, and he plays basketball. And the kid is a freak. He's taller than me. He's 5'11", size 14 shoe, 170 pounds, never lift weights, can dunk a basketball. He is an incredible athlete. But even a better young man, like he being around him as his father, makes me aspire to be a better man, and so appreciate him. But
does he have a huddle film or anything like that that we can put out to our BYU fans?
Oh gosh, the middle school he went to, middle school football here. No disrespect here. Charlotte was not worthy of any huddle highlights. Let's just say it like that. But
as soon as you got them, send them to us, please.
Yeah. The camps that he goes to, they move him from the middle school to the high school because he looks like he's in high school. But if you look at his face, he has a baby face, and you can tell that he's a middle schooler. But physically, he can compete with the high school kids. So if he continues to work hard, the sky's the limit for him.
Hey, Dewey, tell us a story about how you ended up in Provo playing football at BYU coming from Texas.
Yeah, well, so Earl Kaufman, the punter from my high school in San Antonio, Texas, accepted a football scholarship to BYU. And then the following year, Claude Bassett, who was a linebacker coach at BYU, came down to San Antonio, and he started recruiting me. And so the one thing is, in middle school and high school, I would always watch those late-night ESPN games with Robbie Bosco, Steve Young. So I knew who BYU was. I knew what the national championship was about. So they start recruiting me, and I wasn't for sure until they put a brother on a snowmobile. And it was over. Like, I was ready to commit. They took us up to Timpanogos, and, you know, I'm from Texas. I've seen snow one time in my life, and we're on snowmobiles, and everything was so beautiful. And I knew I would play early. I knew I would play for a legend in Coach Edwards, and I knew if I got a degree, it would matter. And so it was by far one of the top five best decisions that I ever made was to was to go to BYU.
Well, and you mentioned that you found your wife there. What was the rest of your experience like at BYU? As I said, coming from Texas, non-member, and not of this area, and just kind of it was probably pretty much a big change for you, I'd imagine, when you showed up.
Yeah, the first 2 weeks, I was like, where am I? What is happening? Where are the people with different skin color? What is going on? But you know what was great, though, is so from a family perspective, I had to escape my environment. It was just filled with dysfunction and brokenness. And so I was on a quest, and my quest was I'm going to get a degree, I'm going to be successful, and hopefully I can play in the NFL. And BYU allowed me to have that. Now, I wasn't a Christian. I didn't pray. I didn't own a Bible. My whole mission was to be, quote unquote, successful. Whatever the American dream was, that's what I was going to go and get. And so my experiences, the football team, that was my guys, and you had Ty Detmer there. So he and I were fishing buddies. And, I had great teammates, Coach Homo, Coach Felt, Coach Bassett, of course. And then Coach Edwards was like a father. And, the school was great. I freaked out the first time I took a test and a professor left the room because they trusted the students to not cheat because of the honor code. And I was like, okay, am I on planet Mars? Because what's happening here? And so it was a great environment for a kid like me that needed discipline, that needed structure, and it allowed me to chase my dream. And I had people there who supported me. And if I start crying, I think of George Curtis, who's now struggling physically, and he was the head trainer. And as an 18-year-old punk kid, he took me under his wing. And I think of Ole, who was a trainer, who always encouraged me. And he passed of a heart attack years ago. And I remember being at practice with Coach Chow and him letting me play quarterback from time to time. And so there's just so many memories that were foundational. Of course, when you're a kid, you don't know none of this stuff. But now you look in the rearview mirror of your life and you're 44 and you go, man, that was really cool. And God blessed me with some really special people. And I had some bumpy times, but there was a great support system around me. And so that's why now I try to help Coach Mendenhall with players that they want me to help with. Because to whom much is given, much is required. And BYU gave me a lot, and so I want to give back.
Dewey Gray, former BYU great, NFL great, also pastor for the Transformation Church, on with us here at Cougar Sports, ESPN 960. Dewey, yeah, I think your story is unique. I think it's special. I think it constantly needs to be told, and BYU fans need to be reminded of it. My question has to do with, you talked about the mentors that were there, the support system. In your opinion, do you need at BYU a non-LDS African-American presence there for that support system? Because that's automatically, I think, what BYU fans look to. And they when they're bringing in what I refer to as double minorities in Provo, do you think you need that non-LDS African-American presence in the locker room as a mentor, as a spiritual leader around the program?
Absolutely, 100%. I know one of the things that they do here in the SEC and the ACC is all the teams have a team chaplain. And so when I speak to professional teams, college teams, and they all have a team chaplain to be able to meet the spiritual needs and leadership development of the players. And so as for me, like when I say I didn't even own a Bible, I didn't. And so you need a wiser voice, but also a lot of kids that go there, they want to go to play football. And if you have somebody that they go, man, I can connect with him. Like, he's been where I'm at. He's been where I want to go. I'll listen to his voice. And it's not that minority kids are quote unquote bad when they get there, because there are some LDS dudes that could, that outparted me under the table when I was there, you know, back in my earlier years. But it's coming from a different background, and you have to have cross-cultural competency to connect. And so as a pastor, our church has everybody, white, black, Asian, Latino, rich, poor, Polynesian. I mean, everybody. We may even have some Martians up in there. I'm not really for sure, but we're trying to reach everybody with the love of Christ. But cross-cultural competency is very, very important. And for BYU football to get back to the heights where it was, you need athletic kids that can come in and run and play. And so you need to foster an environment to help them be successful. But recognize, BYU is a unique place. It is a very, very unique place with a unique standard. Now, if I was a coach there and I wanted to recruit minority kids, I wouldn't even recruit the kids. I would recruit the mama. If you get the mama,
amen,
you got the son. And the first thing that I would say is, this environment is going to be conducive to your son not only excelling academically, but also developing as a man. That we're going to win games, we're going to be successful, but the man that he's going to be, he's going to be better as a result of being in this environment and in this context. And so to say, hey, we have somebody here from a non-LDS perspective that can talk his language, that can help him adjust and add to the tapestry that's at BYU, I think that you could get those type of players. Now, you know, I was the last defensive back to be drafted at BYU.
Yep.
That's 23 years ago, 22 years ago. Are you kidding?
You can blame myself, man. I was part of the defensive secondary, man. I didn't get drafted, man. I was just a lowly walk-on trying to make a name, you know. But, yeah, we've had too long of a drought. You know, you do have some NFL-caliber players, and, you know, guys like Danny Sorensen, Andrew Rich, Rob Daniel currently with the Oakland Raiders. But, you know, it's one thing also to even, you know, to get drafted, you know, you're an amazing football player. To stick, you're a pretty dang good elite football player, and that's where a lot of these players are at right now from BYU, coming from our secondary. Can they stick? And we'll see. Just one last question for you, Dewey, before we're up against a break here. But tell me just quickly about your experience coming back to BYU at Media Day. Was it surreal?
Yeah, Media Day was it brought back so many positive memories. And as I was looking at my teammates, man, some of them dudes got old. I'm like, man, I look good. But, you know, it brought back some great memories. And I also felt like, man, I was a part of building something beautiful here. When I looked at the facilities and, you know, the practice fields, I'm like, man, I was a part of building a legacy. And that's one of the one things that I'm going to talk to the football team about is BYU football is a narrative, and every player is a letter in that story. Every player is ink that is being written. What do you want your letter to represent? What do you want your ink? What sentence? What paragraph? And so when you see yourself caught up into something bigger than yourself, it brings the best out of you. And that's what happened for me, is just being back there, you know, being with Ty and being with Rich Kafusi and Eric Drage and guys that I came in with, and even older guys. It was awesome. And you look back and you go, man, I was a part of something special.
Dewey, if BYU football is a narrative, I think that you were much more than just a letter. You were and continue to be multiple pages in a chapter that was probably the most successful BYU, one of the most successful eras of college or of BYU football. Dewey, we appreciate you hopping on with us. Anytime you want to hop on, you can follow us on Twitter, man. We'll be following you at ESPN 960 Sports. We would love to have you on whenever you have a chance.
Awesome. Hey, keep up the great work, guys, and peace out.
All right. Thanks, Dewey. Appreciate you. There you